Lambeau Show here on this Tuesday afternoon, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are outside of the Auction Community Studios today. We're at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers.
Let's get a seat for the All-Star Game. This guy's got his National League shirt on.
Yeah. He's ready to go. He's ready to go for tonight's
NL
game. Absolutely.
Who are you rooting for?
Who am I rooting for?
Yeah.
Well, since home field advantage mercifully does not depend on the result of this game.
Yes, thank goodness.
I will root for the National League for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
All right. I'm going to root for the American League.
Because of the New York Yankees?
Yeah, you know, I love the Diamondbacks. They are not my favorite team, but they're my second favorite team.
Okay.
I'm a Yankee fan.
Fair enough. So, we'll tell you in a few minutes while we're at it why we're here at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers.
Happy hour has begun five minutes ago.
Happy hour. So stop on by and see us for that. It's a great
7th Street
time.
In Bethany?
7th Street just south of Bethany.
To Bethany on 7th Street. Yep. Stop by. Come see us.
Nothing has officially happened with the Manny Machado trade. In fact, you even raised the possibility the last time we talked about this an hour ago before all this news broke about Steve Keim that the Diamondbacks, the people you're speaking to,
yep,
that the Diamondbacks believe have not been told they are not in it anymore.
There is no indication.
Have not been told that the Orioles are closed for business.
No, there is no indication. This was as at the start of the show. There is no indication that Manny Machado has been traded to the Dodgers.
No.
There is no indication from the Orioles. There's no indication from Major League Baseball or anybody that this deal is done. The Diamondbacks are still in conversations with the Baltimore Orioles, still not willing to put John Duplantier in a deal, but no indication that, okay, that's it, we're done, close up shop, don't even call them anymore. They've agreed to the trade with the Dodgers. That is not believed at this point that is done. That is not believed.
Now, there are some who are reporting that it's going to be the Dodgers. Bob Nightingale is one of them. John Heyman has strongly suggested the Dodgers. There have been a couple of others. There's a Philadelphia Inquirer baseball writer who says that the Philadelphia Phillies are still aggressively pursuing Manny Machado in a trade.
Right.
Buster Olney, and I was just watching SportsCenter a second ago, all he's reporting is that a framework of a deal is in place. He's still not saying with whom, just that a framework of a deal is in place. But just for a second,
okay,
let's assume that it is ultimately going to be the L.A. Dodgers.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you throw in the white towel and that's it. Concede the division. No, you know, now you got to make a countermove.
So what do you do? What's the countermove?
I mean, I think the countermove is you try to match pitching. You try to get pitching.
Yep.
You try to get pitching as much as I'm reluctant to do this, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay, Granke, you said, is having a year similar to last year. He's your number one.
Correct.
Robbie Ray is your number two, but as you pointed out, Robbie Ray has not been Robbie Ray yet.
No.
Right? He's not the same Robbie Ray.
I could make an argument, just a quick aside.
That Corbin's two, and
that Robbie Ray is arguably one of the most disappointing aspects of the Diamondbacks' first half of the season.
Okay, so either way, Granke, Ray, Corbin, or Granke, Corbin, Ray. Now your 4-5 is Buchholz and Godley. Now, there was a report out there that the Diamondbacks were interested in Zach Wheeler from the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I checked on this, and I checked on it, and I checked on it, and the information that I got back is that is not true, because he is not better than anything that we have. Okay, I agree with that. Zach Godley's got 11 wins right now. He's good. Zach Godley's a good pitcher. Zach Wheeler's not better than him right now.
Godley's been a little inconsistent the first half of the season. You would agree.
Godley's got 11 wins,
okay,
man.
Okay, he's been a little up and down. He's been far from perfect. He's been far from great the first half of the season.
I like him.
But you've always had a soft spot for him. I mean, if you're taking one step back and looking at Godley kind of objectively, how he's done the first half of the season, would you not agree he's been a little inconsistent so far this year?
Do you think Zach Wheeler's better than any of the pitchers they have pitching right now?
No, I don't, but that doesn't mean that I want to just give Zach Godley the job and say I can't do better than that.
Now
he hasn't been great this year.
Okay, so now what and I think he's been good, so we're going to disagree. But let's go with the point that you need a starting pitcher. You can't think about playoff rotations right now. You can't think about, well, I got Granke, Corbin, and Ray. I don't need a guy. You might need a guy that's a fourth or a fifth starter.
You might.
Because every game matters. That's why I hate the fact that they gave away four games with Shelby Miller. I mean, I hate it. I do. I mean, I have nothing against Shelby Miller. You lost all four games he pitched in. You know, if you would have went 2-2, you'd be in first place right now. So there is a point to me that you can't give away games. If you've got to get another starting pitcher and you feel like you can get a good one, no, I'm talking DeGrom, Syndergaard. I'm not talking J.A. Hop. I'm talking about somebody you think is legitimately much better than what you have. If you could do that, Well, then maybe that's your counter move. Everybody can go get a bullpen guy. And there's nothing wrong with doing that either.
Sure.
So you could do that. Could you get Adrian Beltre and platoon him with Jake Lamb, who's hitting like 230?
Could
you get Mike Moustakas?
Could.
And platoon him with Jake Lamb, who's hitting 230?
Could.
So there are moves to be made. I mean, you might want to say, listen, I like Jake Lamb against righties, but I don't want Jake Lamb every day right now against righties and lefties. I'm going to go rent Moustakas or Beltre so then I'd have another good bat off the bench in either Lamb or Beltre or Lamb and Moustakas, and I'd have a lefty-righty combination at third base.
Zach Buchanan, beat writer who covers the Diamondbacks for The Athletic, was on today with Bickley and Murata. He says the options are thin for adding a rotation arm when it comes to the Diamondbacks.
You're right that there's not a ton of guys that you say, oh, for sure that guy's an upgrade. I mean, Tyson Ross is out there. Matt Harvey's out there. They're both having nice seasons, but I mean, it's a pretty small sample size, and if you're the Diamondbacks, I don't think you say, oh, those guys are better than what we have.
So because of that, it might be time to get a little creative.
So that leaves guys like Jay Happ or something, who maybe Jay Happ helps you. He's probably better than Clay Buchholz over the long term, I would guess. But is he a guy that you say, oh, for sure this guy's going to start a playoff game for us? I'm not sure he's that either. So it's kind of slim pickings in terms of finding guys that fit their specific needs. They might have to get creative to find something like that.
Now, what creative means, I don't know. Who creative looks like, I don't know. I don't know what that means. I do know this. I'll say this about Machado, though, okay? I could make an argument that J.D. Martinez was one of the best midseason rental acquisitions in the history of Major League Baseball.
Sure.
Would you agree with that?
Sure.
What did he help the Diamondbacks win?
Got him to the wild card.
Okay. When the playoffs started, what did the J.D. Martinez acquisition help them win?
Well, they won a wild card game, and then they got swept by the Dodgers.
Jack Squat. No, I mean, think about it.
Okay.
J.D. Martinez helped get you there. There's no question about that. But the idea that come playoff time, Manny Machado is the guy who, oh, that's it. Give the Dodgers the World Series. It's over. No. Because J.D. Martinez was having the best season of any rental player, arguably in the history of the game over the last 20 years. Diamondbacks got swept in the first round of the playoffs with him.
Listen, out of 65 games, Manny Machado is going to help you win enough games to get you in the playoffs.
He's going to help get you
there.
But
in a short seven-game series,
yep,
there's no guarantees.
That's why, if we're talking about Machado to the Diamondbacks, we talk about a guy like Duplantier, you got to be careful about what you're willing to give up. Because, yeah, there's no doubt, you go get Manny Machado, you're going to get there. Doesn't mean you're going to do anything when you do.
But you got to be in it to win it, man.
I know you do.
You have to be in it to have a chance to win it.
But there are people who believe that if you go get Manny Machado, oh, that's it. Diamondbacks are going to the World Series. No, not necessarily. They had a player who was every bit the offensive equal of Manny Machado last year. They couldn't even get
but
out of the first round.
They couldn't get out of the first round because Greinke screwed him in game one.
Okay,
and
but that's
Ray had to pitch, and then they didn't have any.
But that's the short sample size nature of the baseball playoffs.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. Over 65 right now, I'm not thinking about the playoffs. I'm thinking about I got to get there.
Sure.
So what helps me get there? So the Dodgers are thinking, this is a freaking dogfight. Look at the NL West. There's four teams within like three games of each other. It's a damn dogfight. I mean, you've got to make moves to get there. You're not worried about playoffs right now. You're just worried about getting to the playoffs.
Steve Keim has been suspended for 5 weeks in his absence. Who's calling the shots? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Back here with you on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The top story of the day, the suspension for 5 weeks of the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, Steve Keim, who pled guilty to an extreme DUI today. That extreme DUI means he had a blood alcohol content of over 0.15 on the night of the 4th of July. And as such, by pleading guilty to it, the Arizona Cardinals almost immediately after the news, and KTAR.com was the first to report it, immediately after the news came down of his extreme DUI and the fact that he pled guilty to it, the team released a statement indicating that he had been suspended for 5 weeks, that he is being fined $200,000, and he's giving that money to Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Good.
That he, this is, it, I don't need to tell anybody who's a fan of the Cardinals, this is the worst time in the world to go suspending your general manager. I mean, it just is.
It's going to be five miserable weeks for Steve, and, you know, he'll come back, hopefully come back stronger from this. He's going to do his punishment for not only the Cardinals, but he'll do his punishment based on the law, too. Might have to go to jail. I think there is mandatory jail time for this. So this will be a miserable 5 weeks, and I think Steve will learn a valuable lesson and hopefully never make this mistake again and make amends. But by all indications, everything the Cardinals are asking him to do, and he's already pled guilty. Like, there's no fight here. There's no try to plea bargain down or anything like that. I'm pleading guilty to it. I did it. I'm pleading guilty to it. I'm not trying to plea bargain down. I'm not hiring this high-end lawyer and trying to do this. Is owning up to it, admitting it, getting out in front of it. And in 5 weeks, trying to get this past you. But also in these 5 weeks, it's time to learn. It's time to, you made a big mistake. I mean, obviously. But these 5 weeks will be a time to reflect and learn about it and go do courses that teach you more things and hopefully come out a much better person from it.
The fine I mentioned, the donation I mentioned.
$200,000.
He'll be barred from the Cardinals facilities, prohibited from contact with the team. He will not be permitted to return to the team, you mentioned this a second ago, until he completed comprehensive counseling and evaluation programs. He will participate in community programs related to DUI awareness. It is the worst 5 weeks in the world for him to miss because of all the Kime signings that one would anticipate during this time. Kime himself released a statement, quote, "Once again, I apologize to everyone who has been negatively impacted by my actions and incredibly poor judgment, in particular the Cardinals, our fans, and my family. I fully deserve and accept the punishment that has been issued. My goal is to do everything I can to grow from this personally and help others learn from my inexcusable behavior." Adam Schefter tweeted out about 20 minutes ago, "The Cardinals were in communication with the NFL about discipline for Steve Kime. They advised the NFL of the disciplinary action and the steps Kime must complete before he could resume his duties. There will be no further action from the league."
No, that's it.
This is it.
No, this is it.
The Cardinals were extremely proactive about this.
It's a strong punishment. I mean, this is what else do you want? Like, that's a strong punishment. They fined him $200,000. He can't be around the facility for 5 weeks. That's a strong statement by the Arizona Cardinals. But again, you don't fire a guy. You're not firing Steve Kime over this. There are people that, oh, you should get rid of him. You should Michael Floyd. Michael Floyd didn't give a rat's ass about any of this stuff. He didn't care, okay? He wasn't remorseful. He didn't report it to the Cardinals. They found out about it, like, through the media. Steve Kime owned up to it. He admitted it. He made a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
You know, it's not... You know, it's one that he is – the embarrassment is the toughest part out of all of it. It's just the embarrassment. I feel like, you know, you feel like you let people down. I feel like I let the organization down, the fan base down. He'll come back stronger. This will be a terrible 5 weeks, and then it's you start over. Well, square one.
I don't want to make it sound like this is the overwhelming majority in terms of people who are responding to our show and what we're saying, but this is a small sample size of some of the reaction we're getting. One tweet: "You guys are going way too soft on Steve Kime and Michael Bidwell. He was more than two times the legal limit, a 0.193 blood alcohol content. Bidwell should have fired him. Double standard for Kime and Michael Floyd. I don't like it. Looks really bad." First of all, I don't think we're being soft on Steve Kime. I don't think we're being soft on Steve Kime at all. Second of all, you can't fire everybody who's got a DUI in their life.
No.
That's just not... I mean, it's just not how it works.
No, if he gets another one...
It's just not how... Hey, like, you got a DUI, you're fired.
If you don't learn... Like, if you get one, like, in another year, I mean, clearly then you didn't learn from your lesson, and then you know, it might not be the right guy, but... I don't expect that, you know, knowing Steve Kime a little bit, I don't, and not a lot, but a little bit, I don't expect that we'll ever be in this situation again. I think he's a guy that appreciates what he has, working for a great organization, and will learn from his mistake and be better from it. Some people aren't. Some people don't learn from their mistakes. And that's the key to life right now for Steve is just making himself a better person, learning from this terrible mistake. It was a bad judgment call by him. He made a mistake. He's going to get punished. There's a lot of punishment here. He's going to go to jail. He's going to have his license suspended.
He's been fined $200,000, which is a chunk of change.
Yeah.
He can't work for maybe five of the most important weeks that any general manager has during the season.
And you're thoroughly embarrassed. I mean, you're thoroughly, like, everybody knows. The whole world knows. Like, everybody in the NFL knows that no GM can call you and make a trade.
Yeah.
Or sign a player, an agent. Like, so there is an embarrassment factor there. But in 5 weeks, Steve will come out of this. He'll go back to work. and he'll put his best foot forward, and he'll start working on getting this Arizona Cardinal team back to the playoffs.
But I don't believe that everybody who gets a DUI is deserving of losing their jobs.
No.
It depends on so many other factors. Your willingness to accept the consequences, your willingness to accept guilt, the circumstances surrounding it. And I'm sorry, this is not a black or white issue. It's not. You did it, you're fired, you're out, you should lose your job. Can you imagine? We lived in a world where everybody lost their job because they got to do. I mean, it's how you accept it, the punishment you face for it, as long as there's no legal double standard here. That's the most important part, right? Somebody getting off on the charges because of who they knew or of how much money they had, that's the part we can't stand. Legally, everybody should be held to the same standard. But from an employment standpoint, it just doesn't work that way.
I am a believer in one thing, and the one thing that I literally, and I say this a lot, that I have zero tolerance for, that I would say you need to be fired, is if you beat up your girlfriend or wife. Like if you go home and you beat the hell out of your wife, you should be fired. I don't want you in the community. I don't want you representing the organization. I don't want you representing Arizona. That's me. Now everybody has their own opinion, but for me, no, you're not a man if you raise your hand to a woman. You're not a man. You're just not a man. You're a coward. So to me, that's the one where I draw the line. I draw the line on domestic violence. I think anybody that does that, you need to cut ties with them.
So now we see how decisions get done with the Arizona Cardinals over the next 5 weeks. And they've got Terry McDonough in the front office. They've got, of course, Michael Bidwell. They've got Mike Disner, who is basically the team's contract negotiator and cap guru. I mean, Steve has put together a very capable front office that can certainly manage things the next 5 weeks. It will be different without Steve there. From what I've been told, this will not stop the organization from reaching an agreement with Dave Johnson over the next 5 weeks while Steve Keim is suspended, that those negotiations can and will continue. The business of the NFL doesn't stop. Fortunately for them, they have some very capable people in their front office who can make those decisions while Steve Keim is away. And that's what's going to have to happen.
They've got a very involved owner in Michael Bidwell, who is in on a lot of these negotiations and is involved and can absolutely step in and handle it as well, yep, too. I mean, there's McDonough's around. He's a very qualified person. They got a lot of good people that can handle the job until Steve's ready to come back.
Everybody assumes Kawhi Leonard will land with the L.A. Lakers, but that reportedly did not stop the Phoenix Suns from picking up the phone. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Live today from Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, 7th Street, just south of Bethany Home, your official All-Star Game home. You are invited down here to watch the All-Star Game, which begins at 5. Watch Paul Goldschmidt as the starting designated hitter. Happy Hour is underway, started about a half hour ago. Great appetizer specials, the salted pretzel, the hummus and pita, the mozzarella, way.
Mozzarella.
Thank you. The domestic beers.
It's like a matzo ball, matzo ball soup.
The domestic beers that are on tap, Coors Light, $3 Coors Light pints until 6 o'clock as part of happy hour. Come down, watch the D-backs game. You can also text the word STRIKE to 620-620. That's STRIKE to 620-620 for your opportunity to win a pair of D-backs tickets in the Coors Light Strike Zone. Again, that's STRIKE to 620-620. But come down here, hang out with us.
You get a pull tab, too.
They
got these pull tabs. You win great prizes. You could be holding $1,000 or gifts to a two-night staycation at a luxury resort. Golf foursomes, up to 30% off your next visit. Everybody that comes in gets a pull tab, and you get something for free. Everybody's a winner.
Plus, it's Cantastic Tuesday. All cans are $3. So we've given you a whole bunch of reasons to come down and watch the All-Star Game. It starts at 5 o'clock. Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, 7th Street, just south of Bethany Home. And we look forward to seeing you then. According to a report today by Adrian Wojnarowski, here are a list of the teams that called and inquired about Kawhi Leonard. The LA Clippers, the Denver Nuggets, the Phoenix Suns, the Portland Trail Blazers, the Toronto Raptors, and the Washington Wizards.
You're missing like every other team in the NBA.
Are among the teams who have talked with San Antonio, according to league sources.
I think the Spurs even called themselves just to see.
Hey, you know, what would you take for Kawhi Leonard? I'd give you Kawhi Leonard for Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Yeah, listen, this is one of those much ado about nothing stories. Every team in the league is going to call and inquire about Kawhi Leonard.
I'd be disappointed if the Suns didn't call.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, yeah, you know, we just decided that he's not going to want to come here. We stink. Really? Call. Every team should call.
Every team should
Kawhi
call.
Kawhi Leonard's available. He doesn't want to play in San Antonio anymore. If you're a team that didn't call, you're an idiot.
Sure.
Your GM's an idiot. He should be fired. Every team in the league should call. Hey, listen, would you discuss a trade with us? Would he be willing to play here? I don't care if you're Sacramento, Atlanta, or the Nets. You've got to call and inquire.
Yeah, you do.
He's a great player. He's one of the top five players in the NBA, and he doesn't want to be there anymore. Now, every team should call.
Now, chances are, and the story, it was a long story from Adrian Wojnarowski today on ESPN, and there was a lot of information in there. Chances are the Suns did, and I would fully expect them to have called. Chances are they called, heard what the price was for Kawhi Leonard, and said, we'll get back to you. Because according to the report, the Spurs are looking for an all-star caliber player, a player with high potential, and draft picks. So a guy who's a borderline all-star, a young player with high potential, and a bunch of your draft picks in order for Kawhi Leonard. There's a thought that by now the price should start coming down on Kawhi Leonard, and it hasn't. According to this report, the Spurs are adamant. They are insistent that he is a superstar. We are demanding a lot for him, and until those conditions are met, we're not going
to
deal him.
I wouldn't deal him either. Because I would rather take the time to try to convince him to stay. He's eligible to sign that contract right now.
Yes, he is.
That Supermax contract, he's eligible to sign. I mean, if I'm going to get a crappy deal back, I mean, but what's the use of doing a deal? I mean, I don't want to do a deal if I'm not, like, if LA doesn't want to give me anybody because you want to get him for a year, then you wait a year. I'm not going to take a deal for nothing. I mean, I'd almost rather just have the cap space and then start over. Now, and I also have the trade deadline because there might be some desperate teams at the trade deadline and say, look, I mean, I got a chance to win it right now. Maybe a couple of guys are injured on some star teams, and then you trade for Kawhi Leonard and you give up something. So if I can't get what I want now, I've got one more shot at it. It's not like this is my last shot. I got one more shot. That's at the NBA trade deadline.
Yeah.
And at that time, you might find some teams willing to give more up.
Apparently, Kawhi Leonard is considering participating in the Team USA minicamp next week in Vegas. The interesting part of that is Greg Popovich is the head coach of Team USA. Now, there are going to be 36 players at the camp.
Oh, that's going to be awkward.
And 9 coaches at the camp. So it doesn't necessarily mean that Kawhi is going to be directly coached up by Pop. But, yes, the potential for awkwardness is there. Popovich is the head coach of Team USA. If Kawhi Leonard shows up at the Team USA minicamp,
oh, wow.
And why he would do it basically to show everybody I'm healthy.
That he's healthy.
I'm good. I'm ready to play basketball. That's got the potential to be extremely awkward. Now, Brian Windhorst was doing a podcast.
If you're Pop, are you professional or do you make him like third string?
I think if you're
Pop, are you professional?
I think if you're Pop, you're
just
professional.
He just screwed you royally.
Yeah,
he just screwed you over.
I think if you're Pop, if you run him third team, you could do that and justify it by, well, the guy's been hurt for the last year, so we wanted to ease him back into the action. I think if you're Pop, you'd handle it fine. Yeah, chances are you wouldn't have that much interaction with him anyway. You probably wouldn't want that much interaction with him.
Yeah, but when it comes time to making a decision on playing time?
Hey, well, it's just a mini camp. It's not like, I don't know who they're playing during that mini camp. Hey, you go coach them. I've got 8 assistant coaches here, all of whom are some of the best basketball coaches in the United States. You go coach Kawhi Leonard for the next week. I'm not dealing with him. You go deal with him. Brian Windhorst on a Zach Lowe podcast says one team is in the driver's seat for Kawhi Leonard. And that team would be?
Toronto Raptors. I think they're in the driver's seat for Kawhi because I think the Lakers have given up, the Sixers have given up, and with the Nets, Bulls, and Hawks spending their cap space, it makes it harder to assemble a multi-team trade. I think the Raptors are in the driver's seat.
Hmm. Now, that's interesting because
he's
not going to stay in Toronto.
No, he's not staying in Toronto.
Not going to stay in Toronto.
No.
They're not going to convince him to stay.
Listen, I don't know if I buy the only place that he would go to is L.A. I mean, really, like, there's not, like, 3 places that you'd be happy with. Like, I mean, I think that there's probably more than one. I don't think it's just L.A., but it's probably not Toronto. You know, it's probably not Toronto.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not of the belief that he's only going to go to L.A. So, I think that there's probably two or three organizations that he would be like, okay, I could be happy playing there.
Another part of the story that was really interesting, too, and I kind of heard this about Kawhi Leonard, is that he is so private and he is so closed off that it is going to be very difficult for any team to sell him on staying like the Thunder did with Paul George.
Because you can't get close to him?
Because you can't get close to him. You can't crack his inner circle. He's got like this accidental poker face. He doesn't mean to. That's just kind of who he is. He's a very private, very guarded guy who doesn't make a lot of friends necessarily, who you can't really get in there. And if you can't get in there, how are you supposed to sell him on staying there? Unless you're able to kind of get into that personality a little bit. I guess that's going to make it very difficult.
Listen, the only reason you trade for him would be at the deadline when you know you're in contention, you got a chance to win it all. You don't trade for him now if he's going to leave and give up a bunch of prospects. I mean, you got to know that you're in it. I mean, I'm surprised that the Lakers wouldn't give up some key players to get him now because they've got LeBron. So LeBron's 33 years old. Like, do you really want to give up one of LeBron's prime years with no chance of winning a championship?
But that's where things get tricky, because if you're the Lakers, I'm going to assume, maybe I'm wrong, I'm going to assume the Lakers have been told through some back channels, man, you don't need to trade for Kawhi. He's coming in a year. Sit tight. He's coming. You don't have to give up a thing for him. Sit tight.
Right, but if I'm 27,
that's where he wants to go.
If I'm LeBron and I'm 27, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm LeBron and I'm 33. I don't got a lot of time left. I want to win a championship as soon as possible. Trade for Kawhi.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to win. I don't want to give up one of my
years. It does make it tough.
I'm going to give up one of my years, 82 games, bust it all, and now I'm a year old. Now I'm 34. Now you've got a 34 LeBron going for a title instead of a 33 LeBron.
It does make it tough. It's Ticket Window Tuesday. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Diamondbacks take on the Rockies this Friday night at Chase Field. Listen at 4:15 this afternoon for your last chance to win. It has become his calling card since he took the job. What will happen to the Kime Time signings now that Steve Kime isn't around to make them? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. This time of year is so essential to the Cardinals and what they like to do that we've come up with a nickname for it. Kime Time, right? Kime Time signings. Guys who are still unsigned, guys who are coming off of injuries, guys who have question marks, and you take a chance on them. You get them on the cheap. You get discounts on them because they're looking to get into somebody's camp in time to try to make a roster. And Steve Kime,
they need a J-O-B.
Exactly. Has proven to be very deft at those signings. He's very, very good at it. He's very good at identifying those guys. Not all of them hit. Of course, he doesn't have a 100% success rate on those. But even if he finds...
He's very good at it.
Even if he finds one or two Kime Time signings a year, those prove to be invaluable because you're getting quality NFL players basically on the cheap. With the news today that Steve Kime has been suspended by the Cardinals organization for 5 weeks for the DUI that he pled guilty to, Steve Kime has been barred from the facility. He's not allowed to have any contact with anybody on the team. How are they going to function? How are they going to find the Kime Time specials over the next 5 weeks, which I could an argument are five of the most important weeks that general managers have on the league calendar
because
every year.
They already know who the Kime Time specials are. They're sitting there on a board like you would do a draft. Hey, at safety, it's Kenny Vaccaro, it's Mike Mitchell, or it's Trey Boston. When one of those guys is ready to sign for the minimum and stops demanding ridiculous money, well, then that's your special. Like it's already known. Like, there's a list of guys on the street, tight ends on the street. Now, listen, he'll be back with two preseason games to go. That's before the big cutdown.
Sure.
So he'll be back before everybody has their major cutdown, where the good players get cut, you know, in that final week.
Right, and there's not two cutdowns anymore. There's just one.
Okay,
Jordan, will you look and tell me what the date is? If you have already done that, I apologize. It's been kind of a busy afternoon.
Almost positive is after he gets back.
September 1st.
Okay, right. So he'll be back by that.
Right,
he's going to be back on August 22nd.
Okay, so when these teams have their cutdowns, if he likes a player on those teams, he'll go get him.
Okay, but that's not what I'm worried about. I'm not, because he'll be back in time for that. What I'm worried about is the guy that he signs a day before camp starts, the guy that he signs 2 days after camp starts, right? Those are the guys that Kime-time special can mean so many different things. I usually identify those players as the Kime-time specials, but you're telling me
Guys are identified.
Those guys have been identified, and, right. and the pieces in the front office that are in place to make deals with those guys, they're still there.
Right,
Terry McDonough, pro personnel guy, he's there. Mike Disner,
I can do it. Give me the list. I can do it. So, you're telling me that you want to sign a safety, and that the guys you like the most are Trey Boston, Kenny Vaccaro, and Mike Mitchell. That's the three. Okay. I'm going to call their agents, and I'm going to say, listen, let's stay in contact. When one of those guys is willing to buckle and willing to take a veteran's minimum, I'm going to sign that guy. Okay. Now I know. Now I'm going to add a safety. There it is. It's still a Kime-time special. It's just you're waiting. Like here, like they already know what guys they're going to wait out. Mm-hmm. The money's just got to come down. They're not going to say, like, Trey Boston ripped the organization. Oh, the Cardinals made
a low ball offer.
What was the wording, Jordan? You remember we talked about it last week. The Cardinals made
a disrespectful
offer. Yeah, so disrespectful that nobody else has made an offer to you. You still don't have a job.
Yeah.
So when you come off your high horse and the Cardinals and you have no other jobs, if you want to come play here, no hard feelings. Come on, they'll take you. So listen, I think in many ways what you're saying, and I understand it, it's not like they're starting with a blank sheet of paper. Oh, my God, what do we do? I don't know. What do we need?
It's a valid point.
They know what they need.
Yep.
They know what players they want. They know what their price tags are, and they know what they're willing to pay those guys. You just follow follow along. Connect the dots.
Okay,
connect the dots.
But let's not oversimplify this either. It will be a more difficult task without the leader of that front office sitting in the captain's chair on the bridge.
Okay, but it's not impossible.
It's not impossible. No, I'm not suggesting it's impossible, but it's he's the captain of that ship, all right?
Yes.
He's Captain Kirk, okay? Captain Kirk can't be on the bridge for the next 5 weeks. So now it's up to Spock and McCoy and Sulu and Scotty and all those other Star Trek guys to get the Enterprise where it needs to go. I'm sure they're capable of doing it, but the whole thing runs a lot better when Captain Kime is sitting in the captain's chair on the bridge telling everybody what to do.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
It does. So let's not make it sound like it's not a big deal at all, because it is a deal. It is important that he's there, and things are going to run differently without him for the next 5 weeks.
It'll go quick.
But there are, like you say, there are plans that are already in place.
In place.
Yep.
Already.
There are numbers that have already been discussed. There are cap ramifications that have already been figured out.
Okay, you got a defensive lineman gets injured. Okay, here's what we want to do. You'll have injuries in the first 2 weeks of camp. Like, you will have injuries in the first couple weeks of camp. But again, I'm sure that they've already got a blueprint for what they want to do based on players that are available that they want now, players that could be, that could become available if they get cut, what would happen if a player gets injured. I think that all those procedures are put in place. These guys work sometimes 16, 18, 20 hours a day. They're working. There are contingency plans in place for everything. So if somebody gets injured in the first week of camp, they're not going to sit there and be like,
yeah,
what do we do? Oh, my God, what do we do? I have no idea what to do. No. Steve Kime and his staff have already put together, they already know what they want to do at every position if something happens.
If you're just tuning in, the punishment was handed down by the Arizona Cardinals. 5 week suspension, no contact with anybody in the front office, no contact with anybody in the organization. He's not allowed to be at the facility. Kent Summers, formerly the beat writer who covered the Cardinals for AZ Central, now their lead columnist, tweeted out about a half hour ago that the Cardinals' discipline of Kime was more severe than what the Lions did to their president, Tom Lewand, who, when he got a DUI back in 2010, he was suspended 21 days and $100,000. So the fine is twice as much for Kime. The suspension is nearly twice as long. It was 3 weeks for Lewand. It's 5 weeks for Steve Kime.
Okay.
So, again, putting in the context
they brought the hammer down.
So much so that the league said, okay, that's it. You're good.
Let me say this. The Cardinals can't be criticized here. They handled it appropriately. They handled it swiftly. They were quick. They did the right thing by not firing him. They put the right procedures in place for him to go get some help and do some courses. They've got money being donated. They suspended him for one of the most important times. Or, like, if you The Arizona Cardinals organization can take absolutely no criticism for the way they handled it. They handled it perfectly. Steve Keim accepted responsibility. He handled it perfectly. He's accepted all the responsibility. He pled guilty. He's not going to let this drag on through the courts. He's going to do his time. He's going to do his punishment. And then in 5 weeks, everybody can start to move forward.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any criticism to go around. Listen, outside of the fact that Steve made a really bad mistake and he'll learn from it.
Well, that criticism is absolutely 100% warranted. I mean, he blew a .193. I mean, that's more than twice the legal limit. That's an extreme DUI that's dangerous. It's dangerous to the community. It's dangerous to yourself. It's irresponsible. It's reckless. It's deplorable. In an age where, I mean, come on, let's be honest.
Ubers.
Oh, Uber,
taxis,
Lyft, cabs.
Friends.
I mean.
He could have called you. You would have picked him up.
I've been more than happy to. I would have been more. Hey, Steve.
Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Steve, it's Bernsey. It's Steve. Come be. Sure. I mean, in today's day and age.
Sure.
It's
nobody should get behind
so
the wheel drunk. Nobody.
Easy to
nobody.
Avoid.
Nobody should ever get behind the wheel drunk.
So the fact that somebody who's as smart as Steve Keim did something like this.
But he's not perfect. I mean, he made a mistake.
No,
he made a terrible mistake.
I know.
He's
I
not
know,
a perfect
but
person.
It can't, and I don't think it will. It can't happen again. It cannot happen again. And I don't expect that it would.
If it happens again, then you've got to move on. I mean, that's it. Let's call it like it is. If it happens again, then you didn't learn your lesson. Look, the main thing here is you learn a lesson. This is life. We all learn lessons in life. We make mistakes, right? And you learn from them. If you're not able to learn from your mistakes,
right,
then that's the problem.
With a new head coach, a new starting quarterback, a running back holdout, it is one of the most important off seasons in Cardinals history, and now they'll have to do it without their general manager. The top story of the day we'll talk about next on the Burns and Gambo Show.